Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey, the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Reverend Mark is having some technical difficulties with the microphone over here, which if you're online watching us, you can see that.
Watch happen. The show.
Yeah.
As they used to say on Saturday Night Live.
Right. So, tonight we're going to be discussing civility. I know we've been hitting some strange topics lately, but there's kind of a ulterior motive, I guess, to a certain degree, and that is, you know, we see a lot of breakdown of a lot of these things in our society today. And so we kind of keep talking about these various aspects of things that could help restore society to somewhat of a less abusive, less harassing, less vitriolic state of mind, state of being. And so I thought tonight we would touch on civility a little bit. I think a lot of people think that civility means laying down and playing dead, or just letting others have their way. And that's not necessarily what civility means. There's so much more to civility than that. So we're going to talk about that some tonight. Go ahead and let Reverend Mark have a moment.
I think... these are pertinent topics for today. You know, our last discussion about politics and Christianity and religion as a whole and our belief system as a whole, whether you're Christian or of a different faith, and the role that that plays. I think we have a borderline bankrupt when it comes to civility. A lot of people will just say politics, but yeah, politics is one that obviously comes to mind, and we see a lack of the ability to have civil discourse and communication there. However, that's not the only thing. You disagree with somebody about a movie, disagree with somebody about brand, a car, a restaurant, and it's like, it's almost like you're, the other person's considering your disagreement a personal attack.
Right.
Against their character and against their being.
Right.
And people end up launching into this tirade of trying to prove you wrong, or trying to build a consensus against you, building a coalition, probably is a better word.
Right.
Building a coalition against you of why you're wrong and they're right. And I think there's multiple layers of issues that contribute to a lack of having civility between people that are on opposing views, people that have slightly differing views, different religions and beliefs and methodologies, maybe leadership. I think there's a lot of contributing factors. As a believer, believer, as a Christian, believer in Christ, I'm essentially commanded to live a life that can communicate with opposing beliefs,
right,
and not lose it. And there was a great example given to us in the form of Jesus coming to a world that had opposing views of what he was bringing, and he didn't lose it.
Right. Very much so. You say that we're commanded as Christians to do that, but sadly a lot of Christians today don't do that.
Right.
Somebody sent me a video of Greg Locke this week, Pastor Greg Locke up in Tennessee, and he was just railing against a couple of people by name from the pulpit because they had done him harm and done him damage because they had revealed some of the abusive things going on in the ministry. And
first, I thought you were going to tell me he was beating up, destroying another dollhouse.
Oh, Lord, no. I think he ran out of funds for that. So, he was berating and belittling them from the pulpit, you know. And when people see that kind of response from their pastor towards those that they disagree with, then it's just going to translate into them acting that way themselves, you know.
Yep.
Because they view it as their pastor giving them permission.
Yep. You know. Well, and it's a terrible testimony to people outside of our faith, because we're saying, here's a leader of our community, and oh, by the way, because it's a leader of our community, this is the way we all act.
Right.
It's a terrible example.
Well, we get that a lot, too. People who come to us and they're like, you know, I don't like Christians because they're all the same. They all act the same. And
sometimes you have a hard time proving them wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. For a lot of people, you know, we have to re-educate them about what Christianity is supposed to be about, you know, and they find out that there's, you know, it's a whole different world when they realize what Christianity is all about. I think that's why it's important for us to discuss these things, is, you know, to help people understand that not all Christians act like the Pastor Greg Locks of the world. And,
yeah. Unfortunately, it becomes the whoever screams the loudest or
right.
jumps the, you know, it, what's the phrase, you know, the squeaky wheel
mm-hmm.
gets the grease. Unfortunately, people like that who represent a very small faith or group of the faith, unfortunately, those people get the attention.
They certainly do. And those of us who live the gospel out every day don't, because we're not out there causing a bunch of drama.
Right. Right.
You know, blood, gore, and sex sells, you know. Somebody just living their lives and trying their best to help others, that doesn't equate to media time, so.
Right.
But we try to live by example, and one of those examples is that civility. And civility comes in many different forms, and one of the biggest forms of civility is our ability to communicate with one another despite our differences.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've touched on here in the first part. And another part of civility, though, is not just being able to communicate despite our differences, but taking time to learn from others. You know, I can listen to you all day long tell me why you believe what you believe, but if I don't process that information and learn from it, then ultimately nothing has been accomplished.
Yep.
And what will eventually happen is there will become a breakdown where, you know, one side or the other will get tired of communicating that same information with no response, and it'll become an uncivil situation. So you have to process and learn from the person as well, not just listen. And so that's another big part of civility, is learning. We don't take time to learn. We only take time to listen to respond.
I say, what's that old saying? Are you listening to respond, or are you listening to learn?
Right. And I think that that's a situation that happens not only in day-to-day life, but also in the life of the church. A lot of people come and they listen to sermon, but they don't listen to learn.
Well, and in I'm trying to say this without being overly controversial, given the political climate of the day. But I have always had the mindset of, well, I've developed a mindset. Let me back up and say always.
Yeah.
I've developed that mindset of trying to understand, you know, where people are coming from and what motivates them, mm-hmm, to, you know, vote the way they vote, believe the way they believe. I think as a minister we have to kind of understand that instead of jumping up and down and saying, well, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, here's scripture, scripture, scripture,
right,
and you're
right,
beating people over the head with, you know, your text, versus loving that person, listening to that person, and finding a different way to convey truths that will help them grow, you know, give them the quote-unquote the bread of life that will enable them to continue to down their path in which they should go. Because if, you know, it's kind of like if somebody has a heart condition, you don't necessarily give them something for a headache.
Right.
And the medicine for a headache. So if somebody has an unforgiveness issue going on in their spirit, and you're sitting there and you're trying to counsel them because they're not spending money correctly in their life and not being a good steward over their money, you're giving them the wrong medicine.
Right.
You're giving them the wrong spiritual guidance. And,
right,
you know, I think it's important for us to step back, whether it's a political climate or whether it's a spiritual guidance setting, really pause and listen to where, you know, what is being said. And you know this from studying psychology.
Right.
A lot of times it's what's not said. What we're,
that's right,
what we're bouncing around.
Right.
In order to not say something. And I remember ministering to this couple, and it was a same-sex couple, and they came into my office, and they were talking about all of these issues that they had had. You know, they were separated at the time of them coming together, but they were seeking counsel, you know, what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I offered them some spiritual nuggets, some keys, some things to think about, and then put them into contact with a licensed therapist, because I'm not licensed to do that level of therapy. And so I offered them what I could biblically, And as I kept listening and I kept listening, they had been together for, I'm going to say 8 to 10 years, somewhere mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And they had been married for about 2 of those years. And I kept listening, and they had a situation where one person in the marriage or in the relationship had been unfaithful. They had stepped out and had a relationship with another person. And so they kind of skirted right past talking about that situation. And, you know, I didn't hear, we communicated extensively about this. I heard one right. person say, I apologized, you know, for stepping out. And that was the extent of it. I never heard the other person say, yes, you know, we talked for a while about this, kept coming up, and I never heard the other one say, and I forgave the person.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and sitting there, and we're talking about all kinds of, I mean, from money to, you know, how we do dinner at night and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so I looked at them after they had finished talking. I said, you know what? I said, I mean, obviously there's some challenges here. I said, the one thing that I didn't hear either of you talk about is forgiveness.
Right.
I heard remorse, but I never heard forgiveness. Well, long story short, you know, listening to them, you know, I could have went and tackled each individual thing, you know, how to deal with money, how to deal with, you know, coming up with constructive ways of how to cook in the kitchen together and all right. that type of stuff. Right. And I said, I was looking for that root problem, where that root issue is. And I said, what I didn't hear was anybody talk about forgiveness. And right. come to find out, she had not. Mm-hmm. She had never forgiven the person. And I said, well, there's animosity building. There's,
right.
you know, there's the anger, there's the resentment, there's the, I mean, it was, everything was stemming from that.
Right.
And, you know, instead of jumping on everything, are we pausing to listen to where somebody actually is?
Right.
And sometimes listening to a person to hear where they actually are is not so that you can offer a response back or offer something that helps fix them. Sometimes listening to a person is knowing they're not in a position to where they're wanting to hear. They're not in a position to where they're wanting to receive anything. Right. They're in a venting mode.
Right.
And so you need to be aware of that. And it goes back to what you say. Are you listening
mm-hmm.
to learn where somebody's at?
Right.
Are you listening to learn their position? And whether it's politics, beliefs, in spiritual walks, whether it's, you know, this is the best movie I've ever seen, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Are you listening to locate somebody the best you can?
Absolutely. That's a big part of civility, I think. And when you start actually acting that way, when you start actually listening to learn and discussing things with people who have different opinions than you, you find that your world greatly expands.
Yep.
Because we tend to surround ourselves by people who are of the same mindset. And so what we end up creating is an echo chamber in which only those ideas that we support are welcome and allowed.
Yep.
And so when you start listening to others with different opinions, and when you start actually processing what they say and listening to what they say, then ultimately your world begins to expand.
Yeah, we definitely have an issue there.
Right.
As a whole community.
So many people don't want to listen to anything beyond their little point of view. And it comes out of fear, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The world is big and scary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we just had a week ago or 2 weeks ago, you know, the shooting at Joel Osteen's church. The world's a scary place. It just is.
Yeah.
But you're not going to avoid that scariness by refusing to be civil and refusing to work with one another and learn from one another.
Yep.
You just can't.
Yep.
And what ends up happening is things end up plopping themselves on your doorstep whether you like it or not.
Right.
And I think that's part of what we're seeing today.
Well, and so many, I have to go to the realm of Christianity. So many Christians have adopted the armor of, you know, Paul's armor of God teaching. And instead of understanding that Paul is talking about dealing with things spiritually versus literally taking on an armor, or to put it in a little bit of a modern term, to taking on a combative state towards what we see directly in front of us, the person that we see directly in front of us. We have a group of people that have taken that on, and so they are translating into the what we see physically as having to combat those very people.
Right.
And what you don't have is people that are stepping back and going, this is a spiritual situation. I should first recognize that. You know, if people are acting the fool, I should be responding with righteousness, with peace. And that's my response.
Right.
It's not a literal that I'm going to combat you.
Right, right.
And we have gotten over into the teaching, that teaching, and I think it's been perverted from Paul's intent, because when you take and you compare that passage with, say, Romans, where he's talking about living at peace with all people,
right,
if possible, to do good, to live righteously amongst each other, you start marrying those two things together, the combativeness is a false teaching. It's an
right.
error. It's
right.
You're sitting here and you're moving the gospel, you're moving the message of Jesus, you're moving the message that God intended us to learn over into a world of militaristic thinking.
Yes.
And I've been around a lot of churches, thankfully not anymore, but I, you know, raised around a lot of churches where they had developed that aura around them, that, you know, that they're combative, and it comes across in their demeanor and services, and it comes across. And what we should be doing is recognizing that we, in order to combat spiritual things, we have to live righteously.
Right.
We have to live joyfully. We have to live at peace. And here's the other one. The first place that you deal with those things is in prayer.
Right.
It's in that prayer, having that mindset that, you know, Paul was not saying that we need to act like literal military people in our prayer time or whatever, but it's that level of energy in our spiritual walk,
right,
that it's important for us to give ourselves over to. I need to take all of these things that God has given me, you know, these tools that God has given me, righteousness and peace and joy, truth, and literally think of it as it's all a part of me, mm-hmm. and this is how I handle day-to-day situations, as opposed to I'm going to combat you,
right,
because you got my cheeseburger order wrong. You know, the little 16-year-old who it's her first job at McDonald's,
right,
and you're going to get all ticked off at her because she didn't punch that you wanted no onions on your hamburger or whatever, and then getting into the, and then going to church and testifying, yeah, the devil was on my back and everything I did was wrong, and all these things that happened in my life was wrong, and people were coming against me, and come to find out it was because you got onions on your hamburger. Right. Now, that's not living in a life of being attacked and or being attacked spiritually. That's just called human error that we all do.
Right.
And you know what we're supposed to do when people have human error? Grace. We're supposed to give them grace. And so I think a lot of, especially in the church realm, that's what you're dealing with, is they have this mindset of, well, you're opposed, you have differing opinion of me, you must be driven by something evil, therefore I must enter into my combative Christian combat phase of my life.
Right.
And, you know, not to go super spiritual or into the weeds here, but my question is, how many of you actually go into a prayer closet or spend time in the quote-unquote prayer closet, time of prayer, to deal with things like that? And come, most people, I would venture to guess, don't pray at all to take things on in the spirit realm.
Not much anymore, no.
They just translate it over into, well, I'm doing spiritual warfare by calling you out.
Right. Well, and that also brings up a good point in the fact that for a lot of Christians, it's become, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yep, that's a great way to put it.
We've taught so much about how the devil's roaming around looking for people to just jump on their back and harass them and beat them down. And in other words, we've given the devil too much power. So that now most Christians feel that they're in constant battle with the devil, to the point that even the little onions on the hamburger.
I mean, come on.
I mean, the devil was working hard to get in there and put them onions on that hamburger.
The sweet girl just didn't push the right button.
You know.
It was not a demonic attack.
You know. But you also watch some of the videos of some of the people who react outlandishly at McDonald's, and you have to wonder which side is fighting which side. I mean,
that's the question. I go, wait a minute, who's possessed here? Or the quote unquote proverbial possessed person?
Right.
I thought, I mean, the way you tell it, it was the person across the counter, but I'm watching the video, and it's got to be the Christian or the righteous person that's quote-unquote possessed.
Right. So, I mean, and I think that fault lies in that teaching that we teach so much about the devil, and we teach so much about how he's peeking around every corner. You know, it's kind of like the, back in our day, they used to teach us about stranger danger, you know. And here we were looking for everybody with a trench coat peeking around the corner.
Yeah, ice cream truck.
After us. And it turns out that's like one out of every 100 abductions is a stranger. So while we're looking for the guy in the trench coat, it's, you know, all the family members and pastors and soccer coaches and everything else that we need to be worried about. And I think that's the same with the whole devil thing, you know, with Satan. We've gotten people so wound up about how Satan's out to get them that they literally have lost all of their Christianity in pursuit of fighting the devil.
Yeah, I mean, and they'll throw that scripture at you. Well, Satan is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. The key word there being may, and if you dive into the demonology of certain things, I know we're going super into the weeds here, but I promise I'll surface the submarine here in a second.
No.
It's the Qui-Gon Jinn on Star Wars Episode 1 quote.
Right.
Your focus determines your reality.
Right.
if you are focused on living a life of righteousness, peace, a life of, you know, speaking the truth and love, living the truth, having God's word on how we are to live in our mouths and in our hands and our hearts, and you're focused on those things,
yep,
you'll be focused on all the right stuff.
That's right.
And when all the moments of opportunity comes to miss the mark, comes to mess up, comes to quote unquote stub your toe in the world or through the day on an opportunity to unleash onto somebody, instead you choose to live in that peaceful moment, you choose to refrain. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath, Proverbs right. teaches us.
Right.
And so, and when you focus on that, then, you know, all the evil that does come in your direction, you're handling it.
Right.
Or as they like to say, you're handling business.
Right.
And so you can't, you know, God's way more powerful than the evil that's unleashed in the world.
Right.
And this is something I never have understood growing up in my background of charismatic, spiritual, Pentecostal upbringing. A lot of it was, you know, spiritual abuse. And the fact that God is powerful and is all-powerful, and yet we would talk about the slightest inconvenience in our world or in our lives, and it was, oh, the enemy, the devil, and this over here is causing me and attacking me. But I'm attached to the person who's the greatest of mm-hmm. everything. I'm attached to the teaching of one who came and showed me a whole lot, a better way to live,
right.
A way of light and a way of life.
Right.
And if I'm zeroed in on those things, it really doesn't matter what other people do to me. If I have decided, say it like this, if I have decided, I'm going to use you, this is not Bishop and I's relationship,
well, no.
This is not us at all, but if I come over and I have decided that I'm going to live a life of peace, and I come over and you get sideways with me because I bring the wrong cigar, or I bring the wrong, I forget my lighter, and all of a sudden you're offended because I had to use your lighter.
Right.
If I have decided to live a life of peace, I'm going to find every avenue to respond in that peace or in that kindness or in that soft answer, and to say, you know, I'm just going to pray for Bishop. I don't know what's going on with them, but I'm here just praying that God will bring peace to their heart. And I mean, is that much better than, I tell you what, that bishop just used to be super nice, but now that bishop, I tell you, just full of themselves. And I tell you, that bishop just, you'd think that they were king or queen of the universe. And
right.
Which is better, not only for the person that we have the difference, but which is better for my heart
right.
and my spirit.
Right.
God, I don't know what's going on, but that's definitely out of character for them. Give them peace, give them direction, and give them love.
Right.
That's how we are to respond. That's how we are to pray, not only for those that have a difference of opinion, but a difference in demeanor.
Right.
A difference in how they respond to us versus how we're supposed to respond.
Yeah.
And that to me is the training ground for living a life of, as we would call, civility,
mm-hmm.
because we just don't all think alike.
Nope, we certainly don't. And that's why you know, the Bible says a soft word turns away wrath. You know, we're called to live in that civility, and sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is hard. There are some people in the world that do everything in their power to make it absolutely impossible to live civilly with them. We all know people like that. But, you know, we can do our best to try to be as civil with them as possible while yet understanding that we're not going to please everybody. We're not going to be able to be friends with everybody.
Right.
And so at a certain point, you know, civility does kind of come to an end when you've tried everything you can. But the goal is that you start with civility.
Right.
And when that runs out, you know, then rather than a huge blow up and a huge, you know, you're able to kind of walk away knowing that you've tried everything you can.
Right. We don't lead with, well, not everybody's going to agree with me and we don't all think the same, so the first opportunity that, oh, I like hazelnut creamer and you like French vanilla, I'm done with this person.
Right.
I mean, I know that's a silly example, but that's really kind of where I've watched crazier things happen.
I have too.
I want to read this real quick out of
sure.
Romans 12.
Go ahead.
Says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Paul goes on to write in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Here's a good one. Live in harmony with one another.
Right.
Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people in low positions. Hello, all you leaders out there.
Right.
Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord.
Right.
See, that's how we start.
That's right.
We run out, or we exhaust those moments before we jump to the, you know, Paul's writing, we'll turn them over to Satan for the destruction
right.
of their soul so that in they may be saved.
Right.
Most people will lead with that mindset.
Right.
Instead of, as you were talking about, entering first and foremost with that harmonious
right.
thought process, that peaceful process, that we're all going to be different somewhere.
Right.
We're all going to discover those differences, whether it's how we dress, how we look, how we think, how we reason, how we learn. And when we come across those differences, find the way to remain in harmony.
Right.
Find the way to remain in step with each other, that we're all here in this world. We're all probably struggling.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
Very much so. And that's a good verse to point out, too, because I think that as we go through the life cycle of civility, when civility does eventually break down in a situation with people that just don't want to be civil, a lot of people turn to the whole vengeance thing.
They jump to that first. Yeah.
And you know, that's a good point. You know, the Bible's very clear, Paul's very clear, that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You know, you don't have to go looking for vengeance against your enemies. You know, God will take care of that.
Yeah. Retribution is not ours.
Right. No, we're not the ones empowered with that. And if I were to recount some of the situations where, you know, I have washed my hands of a situation, let God deal with it. God is much more capable of meting out vengeance than I am.
Yeah, and I same thing here. But I will also say this, there are times that I have, at the first sign of disunity or disharmony, I start looking for the soap to wash my
right.
hands.
Right.
And you know, and I get to thinking about it and say, you know, I haven't really tried.
Right.
I haven't really fought to try to live in harmony. It goes back to a theory of mine that I have. I may have shared this with you. I've shared it with a few people where nowadays, if we disagree with somebody because we're so social media connected and we're so electronic device connected, it's just so easy for me to just pick up, well, I don't like Bishop anymore, block.
Right.
I haven't had a conversation with them. I haven't talked to them going, you know, we've got some differences here. I'd like us to iron them out.
Right.
No, we're looking for the soap at the first disagreement. We're turning the water on to, quote unquote, wash our hands of the whole situation. We hit that block button and we move on and we think we've done something.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that most people today immediately go for that whole wash their hands of one another and block on social media and just be done with each other. And so I think it's a very sad situation. I think it's, hopefully we've given people something to think about tonight, some ideas on how to be more civil with one another. Any closing thoughts?
No, I just hope that people, you said it at kind of the kickoff of the whole evening, was fear is a huge part of people not being able to live and have civil discourse anymore.
Right.
I think a lot of it's fear of being proven wrong. That errs on the side of pride and arrogance, to think that everything we think and observe is perfect and next to God's level of knowledge.
Right.
So I think that's a huge part of it, and people need to just let go of that fear and understand that it's not necessarily that, oh my goodness, I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to look terrible. No, look at it from the standpoint of, well, I'm learning.
Right.
I'm teachable.
Right.
As opposed to I'm this, in my mind, an unmovable object, which actually you will get just run over by the lack of knowledge and wisdom. So, you know, let go of that fear of being afraid of being wrong.
Right.
It's okay to be wrong. Many people were wrong. Even the disciples were wrong about Jesus. They thought Christ had come to set up a physical place, and Jesus come to show us a far better way of living than just something in the physical. So it's okay to be wrong. What's not okay is to be unteachable.
That's right. Absolutely. I agree completely. Wonderful and wise words. Hopefully we've given you something to think about, something to chew on, something to help you grow spiritually during this Lent. I don't have a topic yet for next week, but we'll come up with something between now and Saturday. Get our big brains thinking about it in the interim.
Speak for yourself.
Right. So until then, we hope. I want to thank Reverend Mark for being here.
Thank Bishop, you for being here.
Bishop Ben in the background there, who managed Bishop to join us halfway through. So thank you for being here, Bishop Ben. And for all those that support our podcast, we appreciate each and every one of you and hope that you'll continue to listen and interact with us. If you have any thoughts about a topic for the podcast, you're welcome to email me at Bishop Godsey, G-O-D-S-E-Y, at myocci.org, myocci.org, and give me an idea. Just put in there, expanding your faith idea as your subject line, and we'll see what we can do. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.